Hello, hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Have you resurrected your bank account?
Wait, it didn't need to
have
be.
You?
Mara, don't. First of all, don't put my business out there. And my bank account was fine. It's still fine. It didn't need a resurrection. Okay.
Have you resurrected your social life? There's all kinds of shows that I thought about doing today.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It's Easter week. But right. We're going to chill. Okay. But happy Resurrection Sunday.
Have you resurrected your credit? If we out here resurrecting things. I think a lot of people probably need their credit resurrected.
Yeah, somebody needs to resurrect their reputation in their family and friend group.
Okay, in these streets. So take that as, if you are listening to this on Resurrection Sunday, we know a lot of people listen to the podcast the day that it's released, and we appreciate y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the things in your life that may need a little resurrecting.
Yeah, and ask the dear Lord to raise them up. Not in 3 days, today.
Today. Right now. So it's Easter.
Yeah.
Happy Easter. I love Easter.
Oh, yeah.
So we know I don't have children, right? We know that. Y'all listen to me. We know where I'm going with that. Easter is like one of the one holidays where I wish I just had some.
Borrow some. You got godchildren.
I have plenty, right? Because one, I remember my best outfit of the year was my Easter Sunday outfit.
Mm.
It topped Christmas, birthdays, Thanksgiving. My Easter Sunday outfit was
killing.
Always fire. So like I would want to dress a person, a smaller human, for Easter Sunday.
When did you stop getting Easter fit? Like what was your age when it was like, all right, I'm good now. I could wear what I had last year.
Without feeling embarrassed, I'm gonna just tell you all the truth.
Okay.
I've talked about this before. Like my mother was buying my outfits, picking out my school clothes very long after others.
Wow. So when did you stop with Easter fit?
My last Easter outfit that was selected for me, mm-hmm. like this what you wearing tomorrow, that's probably like 16 years old.
Okay. That's about close to mine.
Is it?
Yeah. My parents bought me an Easter suit, an orange Easter suit.
Wait a minute.
In the ninth grade.
What? Orange? Yeah. Why orange?
Because it's Easter. Spring colors.
That's not a spring. Easter, orange is not.
Burnt orange.
Orange is a fall color.
Burnt orange.
That's Halloween. That's a fall color.
Well, not
if
according
to my mom. If you said like sea moss green.
All right. My choices
mint.
Were green and light blue. So you,
light blue. Mint.
No, like super light blue. Like
That's
mouthwash
Easter.
Blue. Yeah.
You thought orange, burnt orange was Easter? That's definitely Halloween.
With the orange and brown tie.
That's fall.
Yeah. Well, that was my last Easter suit.
Mm.
And we took a family picture in that suit, and I will never live it down.
Hey, guys, go to Twitter at Momentum Advice and Instagram to see Alan's photo. You're going to
have to tweet it.
This.
I'll tweet it.
Will you tweet it?
Yep, I will tweet it. But you got to tweet one, too. Some throwback Easter
sure,
outfit.
No problem. I told you my outfits were fire. My mother wouldn't do me like that in burnt orange and brown.
Yeah.
So.
And they had us like small, medium, large. Like they had a like,
high order.
Like in a crazy high order. Like my pop is like 3 feet taller than everyone. It was like that.
Okay.
Like in steps.
Please
stair
post.
Steps.
We
I'll
will
do
be
it.
Posting this on social media.
I'll go to my parents' house. I'll take a photo and I will tweet
okay.
it.
And I will have no issue
okay.
posting
right.
one of mine.
Let's do it.
And it is what it is. We've come a long way. But happy Sunday, happy Easter, happy. It's a lot of holidays for a lot of different people who celebrate a lot of different things.
Yeah.
We respect all of them. And I just hope you are enjoying your time today.
And those who just finished Ramadan or maybe Ramadan's still going on for you.
Don't give me the line.
And, you know, we appreciate and respect you too.
Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. Hope it works out. Hope you're feeling all the things you need to feel.
The proper greeting is Ramadan Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ramadan Mubarak would be the.
Look at you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I did send our Muslim clients a little message. Just the two that I know are Muslim.
I don't
know.
Say you sent them some money. I was going to say,
yeah,
what
is... Just a little message.
Okay. Good. Right. I'm sure they would appreciate
stay
it.
Stay strong, you know.
Stay strong through the fasting.
They're fasting, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they appreciate it. Plus, they get to wild out at night. They get to ball out on the meals at night.
I don't think that's how it works.
It is how it works. It is
yeah,
after sundown, they go up. The meals are fire.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do
yeah.
know.
Okay.
I've seen that firsthand.
Okay.
So if someone told you, hey, Alan, You can't eat. First of all, Alan wouldn't do it. Alan, listen, if there were, no matter how strong.
Yeah, he just said I'd have to switch my religion.
I was going to say, no matter how strong Alan's faith would be, that he can't eat for any number of hours, he would be a lost soul. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But we are happy to be here. We are not talking about what we're supposed to be talking about today. Yeah. But there's some things that have been going on in the world.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That are big. And they keep happening, and we're seeing this common theme. And so we finally just have to address it. We've got to address digital money, the digital wallet.
Because what's happening out here, we saw a bunch of banks fail, and we've talked about that.
We talked about that. That's his own podcast episode.
You see what I'm saying?
Now, Cash App man.
Yeah.
Gone.
The CEO of Cash App was murdered.
Yeah. 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And what's crazy, this week on my social media page, I don't know about yours.
You know, yours is a little bit older than mine.
Yeah. People on there saying, hey, on my Facebook feed, take your money out of Cash App. Trust me.
Yeah. That's not how that works. But that is the news that's going around, right? That's the news that's circulating, especially because of all the things that have been happening prior to. We have talked about all of the other collapses that have happened in the digital currency space around crypto. Again, banks are failing. There's a lot of things failing. And when your money lives in this kind of new age digital space, there's a lot of things that we're not certain about. We haven't been here before. And so that's what we're talking about today. How safe is your digital money or your digital wallet?
Yeah. A lot of people don't even think about this as a financial institution or like a financial account. Like, they're just sending money back and forth willy-nilly.
Cash App, and Venmo, Zelle.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Give me some more.
Oh, PayPal.
Okay, okay.
I don't know what else.
She got them all. In fact, Tiffany has none of these, by the way. Only one you use is PayPal. The OG of OGs.
Yes. Listen, I'm going to keep it classic.
I'd be like, yo, can I Cash App you? Can I Zelle you? See, you're blocking your blessing.
Clearly,
I was going to send you something, listen, but I can't.
Clearly, I'm saving myself because now y'all all got to get out. So.
No, you don't. So stop perpetuating the lie. So the whole show today is really to talk about these digital wallets.
Exactly.
Are they safe? Are they FDIC insured? Are there protections the same way as you have with your normal bank? We don't know.
Yeah, because one thing that you have to think about or that we have to think about or talk about is where does your money essentially live, right? So even when you're using a Cash App or a Zelle or a Venmo, most of the time, the money's still in your bank account.
Not always.
That's what I'm saying. But most of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like some people, you've got Cash App balances. You leave balances on these things and that's its own thing. But for a lot of people who are just like doing the bare minimum, your money is still sitting at your account. This is just a conduit to move it from your account to the other person. So what does that even mean for you?
That's a fact. So let's give you some stats. Would you believe that 4 out of 10 Americans say that none of their purchases in a typical week are paid for using cash?
I'm definitely one of the four.
Yeah. So that's 40% of Americans are not touching any cash during the week.
First of all, because of COVID. Okay, COVID.
It's nothing to do with COVID.
They were telling us that the COVID was moving through the money, and I haven't been back since. So it's really because of COVID.
Yeah. But do you remember back in the day, your pops wouldn't leave the house without a thick wallet.
Specifically, Bruce Hawkins. Y'all lucky y'all can't get access to him now, because back in the day, he was a walking like thick money, like. And I would always, you know, old people are like, you know, don't leave the house without some money in your pocket. Yeah. But.
And your pops would give you money like, hey, I just got to make sure you're holding something.
Word, right?
Yeah.
And I would be holding a lot, just so you know. That doesn't happen anymore. But like.
If you've got a time machine, go back in time and rob Tiffany. What? She had so much cash back in the day as a child.
If you go back in time and rob me, then I will be in jail and you will not be. So let's just leave it where it's at. I think we're all exactly where we're supposed to be right
now. Do it, y'all. Do it. I don't care. Just do it.
What kind of partner are you to sending people to rob me?
Not in the present day.
At a young age.
Not in the present day. I would never do that.
Just robbing children. But so, I do not. I am one of these people. I'm definitely one of the four. It is very, honestly, being completely transparent, the money that I do carry now is because of you.
Hmm.
One thing I will say about Alan Boomer.
See how I be blessing people.
Oh my gosh.
See how you're the beneficiary of my financial prowess. Go on.
One thing about Alan, that I will give him.
One of the things.
The one thing I will give him.
Of many.
Alan is a great tipper.
You're damn right.
So he tips everybody at all times.
For no reason at all.
For no reason at all. And it made me feel like I wasn't doing my job.
Mm-hmm. You weren't. You weren't, but go on.
So I realized in order to do better, I would have to have cash on me at all times so that I could always tip. So the cash that I do carry now is solely because of Alan, because I started to feel like I was trash for not tipping as much and as frequently as Alan was.
And we did a whole show on that.
We did,
which
do a
I
show
appreciate.
On tipping.
So guess how much cash the average American carries in their wallet at any given time? Just guess.
At any given time, Americans.
Americans.
I'm going with somewhere between $17 and $24.
$67.
Y'all doing too much.
Yeah, $67.
Doing too much.
Yeah. So back in the day, I think my pops would always have at least $100.
No, yeah.
Or $200.
For sure. Same with my dad. He
now
would always have hundreds on.
If your dad had $67 right now, he'd be like, yo, I'm dead
Yo,
broke.
He would definitely be scrambling.
I'm depressed.
He'd be concerned. Here's the $67 though, right? Because if we're averaging this out across all ages, the $67 is for the people whose bank account is about to go overdraft. There's no reason for you to have more than $20 in your bank account unless you know your bank account is going to go overdraft tomorrow.
So you take the cash
out.
Yeah.
And you just need the $50.
Yeah. And the $7 is from tipping. They gave out three singles.
Yeah.
Okay, so, that's why they don't have 70.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
They have at least enough to give $40 out.
So
somebody needs to borrow it.
You take $50 out, and then the rest, as Alan mentioned.
First of all, you can't take $50 out
of
the ATM.
All, this is how you know
you're
old, because ATMs definitely are giving out tens and fives now.
Not really.
Yes, you, and
not
you
like
can.
That.
Yes, like that.
Not often.
Regularly. And you can pick. So that's very common now.
Yeah.
So you took $50 out.
It's rare.
It's but everywhere. Okay. You had a couple dollars in the console of the car that just kind of stayed there for emergency reasons. And then like you just had a, you know, random $10 left over from some other time before. But if that's the case, that's where that amount is coming from. Because I think that's way too much.
So other stats. So people think, okay, well, if I'm not using cash, maybe they're using their debit card, their physical debit card.
That's me.
But would you believe that even plastic is getting displaced?
Not over here.
59% of Americans said that they increased the use of their digital payment methods in the last year.
Mm-mm. It's cards for me. It's the debit for me. It's not even a credit card. Y'all know I don't do credit cards. It's the debit card for me. My joint says debit on it every time.
Yeah. But on that note, 8 out of 10 consumers say that they've used a digital wallet, and 44% use these services at least once a week. Once every week, somebody's using PayPal. Well, that's you, old school. Cash App, Zelle, at least once a week.
Once a week. What about you? How often are you using these things?
Well, I use my Apple Pay often.
You do use.
I use Apple Pay. I'll send a Cash App, a Zelle.
I don't
often know. I probably do it every week.
I don't touch no damn Apple Pay. y'all not getting me. So, as millennial as I am, as new age as I am,
you're still old school.
I'm old school.
You still got an AOL email address.
I still
by
got
the way.
An AOL email. Okay, and if you got that email, that means you're VIP.
Mm.
Okay. I don't do no Apple Pay. I just can't bring myself to put that information in there like that.
She's got a MySpace.
That's
well,
not
on.
True. That's not true. I don't talk to none of them digital women. I don't
what?
Talk to Siri, Alexa. I don't have none of those devices in my home. They're not about to listen to
listening.
Me.
Oh, she is listening.
I don't have voice recognition set up on my phone.
Hey,
none
Tiffany, Siri.
No.
Hey, Tiffany, Siri.
Hey
Siri.
She's retired. She's dead. She.
Hey Tiffany Siri.
Tiffany Siri.
You just have it turned away from. It doesn't know my voice.
I don't do her.
Whatever.
Alexa, Gabby.
By
whoever
the way,
it
you're
is.
Making everybody's digital things go off in
good,
their cribs
good.
Right now.
I don't do any of those.
So let me give you some more stats. Okay. 15% of people who use digital wallets, like peer-to-peer payment programs, like PayPal, et cetera. 15% have been the victim of scams.
Including Alan and Timony. We were a victim of a scam.
Yeah, but not using one of those services. We got old school scams.
Gift cards?
Was yeah.
It? Yeah,
we got tricked into buying gift cards to pay a damn gas bill. Okay.
30% of consumers are not aware that they're even liable for like digital wallet or peer-to-peer fraud. They just think all this stuff is safe. Mm. Like it's digital. It's the black market.
I'll get my money back.
It's in the cloud.
It's fine.
As long as it's in the cloud, like it's safe. And so they're not even aware that digital fraud is really a thing.
And you're not getting your money back.
You're not getting your money back because it's not FDIC insured. So if you listen to our podcast episode about how safe your money is in bank accounts, please don't assume that those numbers, those insurances, those promises apply to these digital wallets. Your digital cash is not FDIC insured. So if you're sitting with balances on your Cash App, or, you know, I don't even know if you can do, can you have a pay, you can have a PayPal balance. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Venmo, Zelle.
Well, they're all a little bit different. Some of them have FDIC. We'll go into that. But on average, though, if you don't have a debit card with them, a physical debit card with them, you don't have FDIC coverage on a lot of those balances. But let's go through it a little bit. So let's talk about Cash App. So as we know, Bob Lee, God rest his soul, was found dead. He was stabbed. He was the founder of Cash App.
Through 43 years old.
Yeah, company called, his father of two. And jeez, supposedly like a really, really nice guy. He had moved his family to Florida and was just in town visiting.
See, I didn't hear that. My story sounded different. That's how you know we got different feeds.
Because
I didn't hear he was a really nice guy.
What'd you hear?
He wasn't a really nice guy. We're not going to talk about that, man. Yeah. He's passed on, unfortunately, and his family is dealing with that. So we can just focus on the Cash App portion.
Yeah. So Cash App originally launched in 2013. Originally, it was called Square Cash. That was the company. It was Square that launched this thing. It's now called Block.
Just innovation. Go from Square.
We went from Square to block.
Okay.
Hate to see what's next.
Exactly.
It ain't going to be round, I'll tell you that. But originally, it launched in 2013. And it's worth a lot of money. The company, on its last valuation, it was worth about $40 billion. And Cash App is a peer-to-peer payment app. It allows people to send money back and forth and also invest money. Originally, it was designed to be a competitor to services like PayPal and Venmo. But the big thing to keep in mind about Cash App is that it's a fintech. It is a financial platform. It's not a bank. So a lot of that protection that Tiffany talked about of the bank failing does not exist in Cash App. Now, the exception to that is if you have a cash card. This is when you say, look, I want to go to the premium service of Cash App. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just use it for transferring. I want to use it as a debit card. And so if you do get the cash card, now your balances are protected by the FDIC. And there's a bank called Sutton Bank, some little secret bank you never heard of, which is the bank that allows them to operate as a bank. But Cash App itself is not a bank.
And that's typically the case. When you get a card that's affiliated with an account, that card is oftentimes distributed by a smaller bank. And connection to that bank then gives you some level of insurance around your deposit amount.
And the thing about Cash App is that it's not a bank, but it can do everything your bank does plus more, right? Like you can get your direct deposit into Cash App. You can send and receive money. You can actually buy stock through Cash App. So it feels like a bank, even though it's not.
Does it feel like a bank? Because my banks give me lollipops and, envelopes. Cash App to me doesn't feel like a bank. Like none of this feels
like
a bank.
You know actual banks. Like you know what that's like. But imagine Tyler.
Yeah.
Imagine our analyst who's in his 20s. He's like 23, 24 years old. Like he didn't even know how to fill out an envelope and where to put the stamp. So like to him, Cash App probably feels like an actual real life bank.
So the question then comes like, is this safe, right? Like, should we be trusting this platform? A lot of people are using it. For a lot of people, this is how they're making business. This is how they're receiving income from some sort of service that they provide or side hustle that they have. So is it safe? Especially now that Homeboy's dead. Like, what does that mean? That is what we need to talk about in the next segment. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. So we are back.
Yes.
We're talking about digital money, digital currency, digital wallets.
Is it safe?
Is it?
Do you trust it?
I mean,
put the money in my hand. How about that?
Exactly. But y'all lose it anyway. You lose it if somebody puts it in your hand. Like, you're going to spend it regardless. So I think, like, that's also the thing about cash, right? It's easy to lose, and it's way easier to spend. Especially if you're Alan walking around tipping, he's just giving out money. Yep. Here's the thing. If you ever see Alan and I anywhere, just stand near the door. Just stand near the door as if...
And open it for
and
me?
Just open it.
Yeah, I'm not
and,
tipping
And
you,
say,
I'm
have
sorry.
A good day.
I'm not. That's
bet money.
My requirements are slightly higher than that.
Bet money, you're going to get a tip.
Yeah.
So with cash, you just kind of run through it a lot faster.
Yo, sidebar, unrelated to what we're talking about. Me and Tyler were in the city the other day. I'm walking down the street. There was a wallet laying on the ground. So we picked it up. What do you think we did with it? And it had the Apple tag on it. So they should know They should know where it is.
First of all, this might have been a trap. The fact that it had an Apple tag in it, they might have been tracking you.
Yeah, but you know, an Apple tag, like, once you are away from your phone,
yeah,
it can't track it anymore. So what do you think we did with it?
I think that you took, you opened it and you looked at the bank cards. And if there was a local bank, you dropped it off at that bank.
No. We ran scams. No, that's a joke. That's
we
a joke.
Ran scams.
No, we did try to figure out who the person is. The person had a really common name. Tyler tried to look on their social media to find them. We couldn't.
So was like a Chase bank card, you took it to the local Chase.
Yeah, we weren't trying to do all that. We saw a cop car nearby. We just put it on the cop car.
What? You didn't even give it to the cop.
The cop wasn't anywhere to be found. So we
put
just
a note.
Okay. Well, it's too late. We put it. But it does remind me, if you carry a wallet and you have your $67 in there, put your contact information in
there. That's how you get robbed, Alan.
What? Like, put a phone number.
Okay.
Put your phone. I would have called the guy like, hey, yo, you left your wallet. Like, okay. What else are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to look and see if there's
tried to find
Chase Bank.
It was no Chase. It's 11 o'clock at night.
Truest.
Oh, my God. I can't mess with you.
Take it.
So put a little note with your phone number in your wallet so your 67 could get returned. Okay. Somebody had taken all the cash out. Wasn't me. It wasn't me. I'm saying, like,
you know, your fingerprints are on the wallet.
Oh, my God. The Metro card was still in there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was one or two debit cards were still in there, but the cash was gone and the license was gone. That was the funny thing.
Fraud. Like,
yeah.
You
somebody's
fraud out with the license.
Why didn't they take the debit card? I don't know. Because they damn sure took mine. All right. So is it safe? So Cash App, just like all these peer-to-peer apps, all of these digital wallet apps, they're encrypted. They all have a different level of encryption. But in addition, they have some protection for unauthorized charges. But here's what we mean by unauthorized charge. Like, I didn't go to Foot Locker and spend money, but you said I did. And someone has stolen your stuff and they're spending money that you didn't know about. Like,
yeah, that's fraud.
Yeah, that's fraud. If I sent money to Jane and I meant to send it to Joe,
then Jane won.
Yeah, that's authorized. So that's your safety, is that if there's an unauthorized charge, there's some protection with Cash App. But if you made the mistake, then you're just ass out.
Yeah.
They do have some security features built in. So like Touch ID, maybe a PIN code, maybe Face ID. But in general, it's up to the user to protect their own digital wallet.
Also, I know recently they've been talking about how people have been getting scammed by giving out their Cash App handle. Right. And so I don't know how this works. Maybe Alan can answer, you know, because he has more experience. But when people freely give out their Cash App, especially like on their birthday, they're like, oh, here's my handle if you want to show me some love, which y'all got to stop begging. But there is some sort of way where people have found that by getting your handle, just by getting your handle, they can figure out ways to scam you or commit fraud through Cash App.
Often the way these digital scams work is they'll deposit money into your Cash App. They'll try to then create a relationship with you and then get you to send the money back. Like, oh, I made a mistake. I sent you that money. Can you send it back? But the money wasn't real when it got there.
Right.
And so you sent them real money.
Yes.
But the money that they sent was not real.
Yeah, and it somehow gets pulled back out, but you gave up real money.
Yeah, that's a fact. And they've been doing that since before Cash App, by the way. That's old school.
That's old school scheme.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big shout to the Nigerians. I'm dead wrong. Forgive me. So how does Cash App make money, by the way? So they have fees just like every other financial institution. But the app is free and they kind of lure you into trusting them because it's free to use the most basic features of sending and receiving money. But if you want to instantly transfer it back to your bank account, they hit you with 1.5% charge.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get an ATM card and withdraw, they have a charge for that. If you want to use your credit card linked to Cash App, then there's a 3% fee on that. If you want to buy Bitcoin, they have fees on that. So really, it's the fees is how they make money. But then also, they're lending money out to financial institutions as well and earning a spread.
Mm.
And that's when you've gotten into their bank side, when you've got a debit card through Cash App. So the disadvantages of Cash App, we talked about it already, FDIC insurance. Cash App itself is not FDIC insured. And if you don't have the debit card feature, the money that's just sitting in that balance is really subject to failure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, if Cash App were to go under, shut down, like, you could be out of sorts. Other disadvantages of Cash App, you don't earn any interest. So if you have a savings account, you might not be getting much interest, but you get some.
Yeah, and I think that matters in a lot of ways, especially for us. Like, we're always talking about building wealth. Having cash sitting in some particular place is helpful, but you want your cash sitting in a place where it can be as safe as possible and also maybe making a little bit of money working on your behalf while it's sitting there.
Facts. Other disadvantages of these apps is there's limits on how much money you can take out out of the ATM. So if
how much you can, like, transfer. I know I've had that experience with Zelle.
Yeah, so you're using big money.
First of all, slow down. Okay, so slow down. But yeah, I had that experience with Zelle where, like, you can only send a certain amount a day. Like, who set this limit? You, like, mind your business. Like, you don't know how I get down. And so, like, if you have a large amount that you need to send, like, you can't. Or I've seen, like, if you add a new user, that for that person, that your first transaction with them can only be like $100. And then the next time, it could be more.
Yeah, because you're going to do a scam the next time.
I'm just saying, like, there's definitely, like, a big brother component telling you what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And so that can be an inconvenience depending on the situation that you're in. If there's an urgent need, then it might be a problem.
Yeah. And then the final disadvantage is the tax reporting thing. You know, if you receive more than $600, they give you a tax paper. So
let me tell you how I just got hit with that. So
break it down.
Let me. I bought tickets to a concert.
Okay.
And shortly thereafter, I realized, ain't no way I'm going to this damn concert. And so I sold the tickets. I went on StubHub. I listed the tickets on StubHub and I sold them. And when it came time to pay me my money, they were like, oops, we can't send you your money until you either send us an EIN or your social security number, because we have to give you a 1099 for this sale. Like, mind you, I bought it. You don't know if I netted. You don't know what my net amount was. I might not have made $600. You don't know what I spent, right?
But you're a professional ticket broker, so this...
Like, literally. It's my first, like, probably like my first or second time selling some tickets.
You are a business owner, correct?
That's not
all right.
The point.
They listen to the podcast.
And if I spent $1,000 on the tickets and sold them for $800, I need a $200 tax. Like,
all they do is say what you got in, look, and then it's up to you. But by them telling you what you got in, they kind of ratting a little bit.
Pretty much. Again, you don't even know my whole situation. Let me just hear me out first. But yeah, I had to give my, they were like, you need your EIN or your social security number before we will release the funds to you, because we also, because it's over $600, we have to give you a 1099.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because what's crazy is if you sold the tickets for cash and you deposited that cash in your bank, nobody's asking you for
nobody's
a 1099.
Nobody's asking me for
They wrote you a check and you deposited it into your bank account.
Come on.
Nobody's
and again, you don't know how much I paid for them tickets? Yeah. I might have took a loss. I might need to get a write-off or something.
Yeah. So bottom line, Cash App is safe, except if you send money to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And realize that if you're carrying a balance, it may not be FDIC insured. Now, look, this man died. It doesn't mean you need to go out and delete the app. Just understand how it works and how it doesn't work.
Yeah.
We should talk about some of these other peer-to-peer digital wallets. What about Zelle?
So I like Zelle. Yeah. I like Zelle because I don't have to do anything extra. Like, depending on who you bank with, Zelle is a part of your banking platform. So I bank with Chase, Bank of America, a couple of other people. Zelle is already a part of that. So if I do need to send money, I don't have to go to Zelle. I can just go to my standard online banking platform and send the money.
Yeah. Zelle is easy. It's very easy to use. It was actually created by the banking industry. So it's owned by all the banks you named, ironically. Bank of America, Capital One, JPMorgan Chase, PNC Bank, Truist, U.S. Bank, and Wells Fargo.
See, they definitely got me, because I thought that Zelle was, like, created by some random person and the banks bought it.
That's who owns it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely think someone, because there was a period of time where, like, it wasn't affiliated. You had to, like, download an app and do it that way.
Yeah.
And then I think the banks bought into it, which I'm really glad they did, because it does make life a little bit easier, especially for you people. And I'm not one of y'all, but for you people who go to dinner in groups and then get to nickel and diamond for the bill. And so you start, nowadays, you can Cash App or you can Zelle across the table. Like, here's my $15. Here's what I paid for the wings. Like, here's my slice of pizza. But it's helpful.
Yeah, for sure. So Zelle, I just view it like Hulu. Like, Hulu, you know, is like, it's one of these digital streaming services, but it really is owned by the networks.
Yeah.
So Zelle is just like Hulu.
I didn't even know Hulu was owned by the networks. So you're out here snitching.
And Hulu has live sports.
Cut
the check, Hulu.
There you go.
We should be an advertising platform.
No, we absolutely should.
Cut the check, Hulu.
Hulu.
Sponsor us.
A couple other people. We need a couple other sponsors. Yeah. Pellegrino. Pellegrino, please, y'all. We have a really wide listener base. If y'all work at Pellegrino, have any affiliation with Pellegrino, I am the sparkling water. I got y'all. Pellegrino, we need a couple of banks. We need Hulu.
Dax.
Who is that? Like the Greece?
Wave.
First of all, you don't even have
Wave Greece.
Okay, so you, no.
That is not true.
If we need Dax, then we also need a brush. We need a brush sponsor also, because you're not going to get there just with the Dax.
Yeah.
So,
fine.
You know.
I'll take all the sponsorship. So what's different about Zelle is that they don't have as many fees. Like they don't have fees for the instant transfer. They don't have as many fees because they're connected to banks that charge a gang of fees.
They're like, listen, we don't need to double up because our homeboys got you.
Yeah. So the advantage of Zelle is that they don't have fees and that their money is FDIC insured because it's inside of your bank. The disadvantages, though, is that it is technology and sometimes the authentication and the system breaks.
Yeah. Like
and your money might
work.
Might not add up
Servers
properly.
Servers down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like your Wi-Fi not strong enough. Like there's a lot that can happen that just makes for an inconvenient experience.
Wasn't there a situation recently where Zelle like took money out of people's accounts by accident?
I think like it was like taking like a dollar out of everybody's account.
Sorry.
Yeah. And they ended up putting it back. But in the meantime, like people's accounts were off. I think it was definitely more than a dollar, but like people's accounts were off. Money got pulled and placed in other places. And it got resolved within like 24 to 48 hours.
My bad.
But you don't know how much money I had in the bank. You know what I mean? If I had my $67 and you went ahead and took
you see what I'm saying?
50, like what can I do with that?
Now you're out there in front of 7-Eleven begging for change.
Exactly. And you're like, oh, I'll put it back on Monday. It's Good Friday.
And if a transaction doesn't go right, they don't have the same protection that credit card companies do or even debit cards do. So Zelle's got some disadvantages too. Can we talk about Apple Pay, Apple Cash?
You going to talk about it because I don't know it.
Yeah. So
Talk me through it because I really don't touch it. I'm not interested in going that far. Here's my thing. If I lose my phone, I don't want to lose my whole life. Like I don't need everything about me. Y'all got y'all's because now people have their digital locks, the house keys on your phone, your Apple Pay is on your phone. Like, it's a bit too much for me. So, talk to me about your Apple Pay.
Yeah, so Apple Pay itself is just like a debit card inside your phone. And you can put a PIN, you can use Face ID, you can use, if you got the old school iPhone, I'm sure you can use the touch feature. So, it's got some level of protection. I lock my phone, so that gives me some additional protection that Tiffany doesn't
have. Nah, I lock my phone.
I do lock my phone. So if someone have my phone, they can't necessarily just use Apple Pay because it's locked at a minimum.
How many digits are in your password?
How many different digits? how many digits? Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if it's just four, if it's just...
Or what if it's all the same? Never mind. Because it's not. Scammers. Okay. What people like about Apple Pay is that you can use it via text message, so I could text somebody my money
really?
If I want to. Yeah, I do it all the time.
What's the text say?
It's
send
just
Tiffany. Do one for me right now.
No, because it's gonna send you actual money.
Just let me see how it looks,
and then you won't send it back. But I would send you real money. You would send me fake money back, and then
I don't
my
even
account
have
would
set
be
up
messed
to
up.
Send it back. But you just send a text message. Like you can send a text message to your kids.
It's literally a picture of. Like it looks like a black square with a dollar sign and the money amount in it.
A black
square.
So
the funny thing is,
that sounds...
So my brother does this all the time to mess with me. He'll send me a picture of what it would look like if he sent me the actual money. And my dumb butt is sitting there pushing it.
Oh my God.
Like he'll owe me money for something and I'll push it and it's not real money. But when you get a real live Apple Pay payment, you touch it and it could transfer the money into your
account. What if I don't touch it? Does it expire? Does it say like you don't even really want it?
You ain't want your money.
Exactly.
Then, okay.
Send me one.
No.
I just want to see it. I'll give it back.
All right. Since I'm your boss, the next paycheck you get
since I'm your boss.
On Apple Pay. Okay? Yeah. So the Apple Cash feature, this is, again, that debit card. It's similar to having a Cash App debit card. There is FDIC insurance with the Apple Pay. And the fees are significantly lower than Cash App for moving the money back and forth to your bank. But they do have limits on how much you can move, but it's $10,000 per recipient, so a little bit bigger of a limit versus Cash App limits, and that's Cash App.
also, I think the thing that we're trying to just get you to understand is, like, don't assume that you have the same protections that you would in your bank accounts. Like, even though the money might be coming from your bank account, it might be moving to and from bank accounts, it is not protected in the same capacity. Things are different. The rules are different. And so just know where you are vulnerable when it comes to having a digital wallet or using some sort of peer-to-peer system.
So since we've talked about Apple Pay, can we talk about your favorite?
PayPal?
Samsung Pay?
I don't even know them. Yeah. Is there a Samsung Pay?
Samsung Pay is bigger than Apple Pay.
This is dumb.
More people on earth have Samsungs than have iPhones.
Well, that's the first problem. Okay. The second problem is, what is there, Motorola Pay? Where's Nextel Pay? Like, there needs to be one standard service. Every phone does not need its own payment peer-to-peer service.
It does. They're all trying to get money. So Samsung Pay is actually probably a little bit better than Apple Pay. I can't front on this because Samsung Pay.
You don't even have a Samsung. You don't even know what they do.
I know, but I looked it up. Okay. Samsung has partnered with SoFi.
I know them.
Social finance. Mm-hmm. Familiar with them? Okay. Mm-hmm. She's up on all the latest fintechs. But what they've done though is they've done one of these programs where they're placing the money inside of multiple banks. So with Samsung Money by SoFi, you've got up to $1.5 million of FDIC coverage.
Okay. I need to get what's the new Samsung phone? Like 1.5 million? Just listen.
The Hurricane Galaxy A19 2346.
Hurricane Galaxy. No, I don't need all that. But if you're going to insure my money up to 1.5 million.
First of all, you need 1.5. But if I had that in my checking account, I don't think I'm putting it in my Samsung Pay.
I'm definitely putting it in my Samsung. That's a fact.
What are you doing?
Like, it's safe there. Definitely getting a Samsung. Listen, here's the thing.
Now, how many people with 1.5 million in their checking account have a Samsung? Would
they
be my
know,
question.
But I'm going to tell you this right now. If y'all see me outside and I pull out a Samsung, no, I'm balling. No, I got 1.5 million. At a minimum, I got 1.5 million.
Okay.
Until then, it's an Apple phone. It's an iPhone. But when y'all see me with a Samsung, know that I made it.
She made it. She made it. Okay. What about PayPal? So PayPal does have FDIC insurance.
Word.
If you've got the PayPal debit card. If you don't, then you're
definitely don't
out here in the wind.
I definitely don't.
But if you've got the debit card, then they use a pass-through to get the insurance through banks. They use Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, and Bancorp.
Yeah, I definitely don't have the card. But I will say I don't let balances sit in my PayPal account. So I do have it automated where if money does come through my PayPal, if there's some sort of refund or anything, it immediately gets moved to my bank account.
Well, immediately means they're charging you a fee. Hopefully it's in a day or two.
They're charging them a fee.
It charges you a fee. You didn't even notice.
They did it.
Yeah. So don't opt for the fast transfer. There's a fee usually on these bank account things, on these digital platforms.
So we are still talking about digital money,
yes.
Digital wallets, digital currency. It's a lot of things happening with banks and financial institutions. And so I feel like we've gone through a lot of the things, crypto, bank accounts. But now we got to talk about these other peer-to-peer digital platforms. Is your money safe? So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's needed to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
So we are back.
Yes.
Still talking about digital money.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all have sent a Cash App while you're listening to this podcast? We will never. First of all,
that's irresponsible.
And let's just be clear, just for all future scams, Momentum doesn't have a Cash App. We don't. So if you don't ever think we're posting asking for any money, we will never be asking you for money for any reason.
Let me ask you a question. If you were doing business with a service provider,
okay,
and instead of offering you to pay via debit card or wire transfer, they ask you to pay via Cash App.
First of all,
what's your reaction?
First of all, I'm a black woman. So between a hairdresser, a nail salon, I'm always paying in one of these digital platforms. They prefer their money that way now. It goes directly into their bank account.
You don't have Cash App, so how do you pay?
I have Zelle. Mm. Right. So I have Zelle, but that's the preferred. They don't even want you bringing out a card. They would much prefer for you to, they'll put up their little QR code or whatever it is, or give you their phone number. Everybody wants their money immediately in their bank account now, and they want it through one of these peer-to-peer platforms. So hairdresser, again, nail salon, whatever type of, you know, beauty experience you have, people now want that money that way.
What if it's your architect?
Mm-mm. No. Matter of fact, I'm writing you a check with a carbon copy. So, no.
Yeah. Now, it used to be, to me, it was a little bit taboo. Like, why you want it on Cash App? I can't use my debit card. Mm-mm. But it's becoming really, really more and more common.
So, now, I wish my landscaper would accept Zelle.
How do you pay him or her or them?
Check.
Old school.
Old school. He leaves a paper invoice.
He trusts
invoice.
You enough to
First of
accept
all,
your check?
Listen, he knows where I live. He leaves a paper invoice.
Written to cash, or you write it to him or her?
I write it to him.
Okay.
His actual
That's
name.
A high level of trust going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why these digital things exist. People weren't trusting that they were going to get their money back.
They weren't.
You're at a dinner and your friends ordering a steak and you ain't get nothing but the French fries. You need to cash at me, bro.
Then that ain't your friend, okay? They didn't need a digital platform to resolve that.
Yo, it does make things awkward, though. Like,
at
you
dinner?
you were telling me about a friend's birthday party you flew into town for.
Word.
And it was supposed to be like a big celebration hosted by the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the night...
Yo, first of all, here's the bigger issue. And I don't care if you're listening. Here's the bigger issue. Like, we didn't get to order what we wanted.
Mm.
So if we were paying, like, it wasn't, here's the menu. We were at a restaurant. Here's the rest of my menu. Order what you want because you're paying for it. They pre-selected our menu.
Mm.
And then, so I'm assuming you're paying for it since you made all the decisions.
Nope, that's you.
Only for, at the end of the night, the husband to, literally, it was like, telephone, like, tell a friend, hey, Cash App me this money. You're not walking out of here till you Cash App me some money. Was the tackiest shit I ever heard. And as Alan mentioned, I flew in for this.
Yeah.
I definitely.
And meanwhile, you don't have Cash App. You got PayPal.
Yes.
And I don't think Zelle was out yet. So I don't know how you got out that room.
Yeah. For all of y'all who are out here using these peer-to-peer platforms to, you know.
Be tacky.
Split the price on French fries. I hope you get fraud.
Mm.
This is not necessary. That's not what it was created for.
Yeah, okay. So what it was created for was to move money back and forth, and we should talk about how to do it safely.
Yeah, so first things first, you need to enable security features on your phone in the app, period, right? So however way you access these platforms, and for most people it's through their mobile and smartphone, you need to enable security features in the preferences of that specific app. And also, to Alan's point, just on your phone in general, so that people have a hard time even getting to the app. Put a password on your phone, whether it's, what is it, eyes now, your face, your thumbprint.
Something
numerical, alphanumerical, but whatever it is, make sure you have security features on your phone. For Cash App's home screen, you can go to the privacy and security setting and you can put a lock button on there, create a PIN, a touch ID, but whatever you need to do to secure the device where the app lives.
Facts. Next bit of advice. Don't leave large amounts of money in these apps.
Yeah, not on the balances of the apps. If you are moving large amounts of money from one bank account to the other, that's one thing. But just leaving large amounts of money in the balance of the digital app, you don't want to do that because that money's not insured.
Yeah, FDIC doesn't know who you are.
Right.
Yeah, there's nobody coming to see you.
There's no FDI or C.
Yeah. Jerome Powell could care less about your Cash App. Only send money to people who you know and trust. Don't send money to accounts you don't know personally, and make sure you verify the information. Can I give you some stats on online scams
Let's
and mistakes?
Okay.
What percentage of baby boomers do you suspect have had the mistake of sending money to the wrong people?
And baby boomers, that's like 60? How old are
they? That's like our parents' generation.
Okay. How many percentage of mistakes? I'm definitely giving them like 34%.
Well, they barely use it, so 6%. But,
okay.
But guess who's doing the most mistakes?
Your age?
Gen Z.
That's you?
No, that's younger. That's Tyler. That's
really?
In your 20s.
That's because they're moving too fast.
40% of Gen Zers have sent money to the wrong person.
Yeah, I've never done that. Thankfully, I've never done that. I definitely check the spelling, all the characters, all the things.
Yeah, because people's Cash Apps are kind of janky sometimes.
Word.
Because it's not their name. It's like some...
Handle, AZRL dollar sign smiley face.
Getting money, Hawkins.
Listen, I mean, I am.
The realest in the game, dot, dot, dot. dollar sign.
Yeah, and you missed the dots. Yeah. So now
I did two dots. Ah,
the money went somewhere else.
Yeah. Another stat is the amount of people that are victims of scams related to their PayPal or Cash App or one of these digital wallets. 29% of Gen Zers, 19% of millennials.
Go ahead, put your name out there.
Gen X, 12%. We're vigilant.
That's y'all have no money.
Okay, we aren't using these services like
that. Exactly. I will say, literally my mom's neighbor got scammed through Cash App by her own son.
What?
She didn't even know she had a Cash App, but he connected Cash App to her bank account by using her phone and like her online banking that was already set up on her phone. He set up a Cash App account for her and was just moving money. She didn't even know about it and was getting all these notifications from Cash App. And she just thought like, I don't even have a Cash App. Like, I don't even know what's going on. But ultimately her son had set it up and was scamming her out of money.
Yeah, if you've got a son, don't trust him.
What? At all? None of them?
Under any circumstance.
That's not true.
And this is coming from a son, so I know.
Coming from a son?
Other advice, be aware of potential transaction scams. Don't be out here giving out your Cash App to random people. And be aware of people who are promising you money or goods in return for a Cash App payment.
Yeah, also just be aware of customer support scams, right? So people who are calling, hey, I'm calling you from Cash App. Just seen some unusual activity on your account. Just want to confirm your information just to make sure it was you. Can I have your social security number, date of birth, and address, please?
Lord help me if you fall for that one.
Just saying.
I'm calling from Cash App. Yeah.
Right. Like, listen.
Where are y'all located? We're in the ethosphere.
Right. We're in the cloud.
We're in the metaverse.
So just need to get a little bit of your information so that we can make sure this is you, want to keep you secure so that you don't have any issues moving forward.
Cash App doesn't even have customer service.
At all.
Yeah.
At all.
So they're definitely not calling you.
If you lose it, then it's lost.
Yeah.
And you're just the customer.
So be careful. When you send that money, it's gone. If somebody gets access to your account, you're done.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anybody to call.
Yeah.
I literally don't think there are any real employees. I don't know anybody who works at Cash App. And I have a lot of friends who work in tech. I don't know anybody who works at Cash App.
Yeah. So, everybody has one, though.
That's
for sure. That's for sure. So what's happening next in digital payment world? So the Federal Reserve has announced that they've got a new digital payment system that's going to debut in July. So stay tuned on that.
Not around my birthday.
When the government gets involved, you know it gets all
messed
up.
Here's the thing. First of all, it's called FedNow. Y'all going to have to rebrand. The first time I heard the name, no one is doing that. FedNow?
FedNow me, please.
Yeah, no. It absolutely sounds too much like snitching.
You don't think 2 Chainz is going to drop a FedNow?
You're going to have to rebrand this
song
for sure.
A mixtape series, FedNow?
No. So. No. You definitely want to change the name. But to Alan's point, once the federal government is getting involved in these type of platforms, one, you know it's here to stay, but you also know it's going to be regulated as hell, and they are going to start making rules that only benefit them.
Yeah. I don't think there's a conspiracy. I don't think the government killed this man, Bob Lee.
No, what? Is that a thing?
Man, people are out here speculating all sorts of things. But what I will say is
That's tax dollars. They ain't about to kill him. He need to paying all them taxes.
Yeah, but God bless his family.
Yeah.
People who knew him. Nobody should go out like that.
Yeah.
And we don't want you going out like that either with mistakes in your Cash App or your Zelle or your PayPal or your Venmo or whatever service you decide to use.
Yeah. So we're not trying to deter you, but we just want to make you aware of what is and is not available as you use these digital platforms, these digital wallets, and we want you to be safe. So we will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum.